morning. So yesterday, as you know, I was able to open up God's Word and just teach what God's Word says. Today I want to do something a little bit different. If that was a little bit closer to a sermon, this is going to be a little bit closer to a seminar. The reason I highlight this is because recently I did a seminar like this one, and after I did it, a guy came up to me and was really, really angry with me and got right up in my face and said, "You never opened the Bible in that entire seminar." And I said, "Well, it was a seminar. I was trying to teach very practical things." And he was so mad, somebody had to come and actually drag him away. So anyways, this is not teaching God's Word. This is teaching principles that we can derive from God's Word and looking on a very granular level. How can we take some of these things we believe? How can we take some of these things we believe God's Word teaches and then implement them on a family level? And I call this the porn-free family. If you've looked at your little booklet yet, you'll see that the last chapter is called the porn-free family. And so what I'm going to do is present the information, and then what I'd love for you to do is later on, I'm losing my mic here, later on for you to go through this on your own. And hopefully what I've said will trigger your memory a little bit, and you can then actually come with a plan to your home, to your family, or if you don't have kids in the home anymore, then maybe help some others. Actually implement a plan that will help protect their family against some of the dangers that are out there on the internet. So one of the ironies, I guess, of my life is that I travel quite a lot and go to many different places to talk about something I absolutely hate, and that would be the subject of pornography. And the book Sexual Detox was really what kicked off my thoughts on the subject and began to invite people to come and have me speak on it. And so, as I said yesterday, I've been all around the world speaking on the subject, and I think I've seen just about everything I could see now and spoken to people who have struggled with just about everything you could struggle with. I've seen families wrecked by the internet. I've met families who have 8-year-old girls who are addicted to pornography because they found the iPad, and they just started looking for something innocent, and they found things that weren't innocent, and over time it just developed into a full-blown kind of addiction. Of course, it hasn't all been bad. I've seen the internet used for lots of amazing things, all these digital technologies used for great things, too. When I talk about the porn-free family, really what I'm doing is just using it as a means to discuss all of these problems, all of these concerns that can come through the internet. Porn might be the most obvious one, but there's many others as well. But really, if we address in our homes the problem of the allure, or the possibility of encountering pornography, we're really identifying and addressing all the other issues as well. They kind of go hand in hand in that way. I think many parents, all parents probably, really want to protect their families against pornography. They know it's a problem. They want to do something about it. They just don't know how. There's not a lot of instruction there. So what I want to do is just lay out a plan you can actually do on your own, and a plan that will actually work. It's the plan I use in my home and have for quite some time now. Many others have adopted it or something like it, and it is effective. It's not foolproof, but it's effective. There's lots of people out there who are on the front lines of battling against porn through legislation and such things, and I'm all for that. My emphasis has always just been, how can we as parents prevent our children encountering pornography? How can we train them so they can identify it and know what to do when they encounter it? And then what can we do in terms of recovery for children who have encountered it? Let's start here, though, with 5 critical facts about pornography and how it's impacting families today, focusing specifically in the area of pornography. The first thing to see is that exposure happens early. The average age of first exposure to pornography now is, I believe it's 12. It might be as low as 11 now. You just talk to people about when and how they were first exposed to pornography, and you hear some very, very heartbreaking stories. And in so many cases, it was inadvertent. It wasn't children who set out to look for things they knew were bad. They just stumbled across it. They encountered it somewhere. In some cases, it was curiosity, right? Children have questions. Children have questions about the body, questions about sexuality. And from mom and dad and just from what they've seen in the world, they know that when you have questions, you go and ask Google, right? You just type it into the computer and it will answer your questions. And let me tell you, Google's very, very happy to answer their questions, but they may not answer in a way that you would approve of. But in so many cases, these kids went online and they were exposed far, far too early to what they should not have seen. By the age 18, 90% of boys have looked at pornography. The other 10% may not be telling the truth. And 60% of girls by age 18 have been exposed to pornography. So this is a very, very widespread issue. It happens early. Exposure happens often. Those who begin to access pornography access it often. About 70% of young adult men access porn at least weekly, and about 20 and rising percent of women as well. It's at least a weekly habit. For 85% of young adults, male and female, porn is at least a monthly habit. The statistics within the church are really not too different from the statistics outside the church either. So 85% of young adults are looking at porn at least once a month, 60% of young men, 70% of young men at least weekly. So exposure is happening often. This isn't just an inadvertent, occasional kind of thing. A lot of people are spending a lot of time with pornography. Exposure happens everywhere. 52% of pornography is now viewed on a mobile device. This means that porn is ultra-portable. Wherever people go, their porn goes with them. One out of every five searches, Google searches, on a mobile device is for pornography. And 24% of smartphone owners admit that they've used it to access porn. An author who writes about porn says this. He says, it seems so obvious. If we invent a machine, the first thing we're going to do after making a profit is use it to watch pornography. And that's certainly the case. Why this matters, exposure happens everywhere. People are looking at porn on mobile devices. Why this matters is because most of the efforts we've put into preventing pornography, preventing our children from seeing it, has gone to that family computer. Right? The measure we were supposed to take is to buy a family computer, put it in a public place, put covenant eyes on it, and all our problems will go away. And for a time, that was an effective solution. Today, though, we do that, but then we also give our kids an iPhone, and then they use that iPhone to access their pornography. So exposure happens everywhere. Exposure changes people. 50% of Christian men say they're addicted to pornography. Just think about that. 50%. Say that they're addicted to pornography. It doesn't necessarily mean they're looking at it, but they consider themselves addicts. 20% of Christian women would say the same. One in five. We know now that porn really works within us. It really rewires our brains, right? It changes the way we behave. It's addictive, like drugs or alcohol are addictive. It has some of those same qualities that can draw you into this pattern of behavior and then keep you in this pattern of behavior, make it very, very difficult to break away from that pattern of behavior. And if you've worked with people who are addicted to pornography, you've seen this. You think, how about next time you just don't look at it instead of looking at it? Like, why can't you just make that decision? But they've rewired themselves in such a way, they've formed such habits and patterns that it's very, very difficult. It's as difficult for them to stop as it is for the drug addict to stop. And it also changes us in the way we view other people. Right? Today, sexuality is being formed through pornography. Right? So children aren't having their view of sexuality formed by speaking to their parents and having their parents describe it from a biblical perspective. Children are having their understanding of pornography shaped by watching violent, misogynistic, horrible pornography before they're even old enough to begin to understand how violent and how terrible that is. So we're being changed, our children are being changed. This constant exposure to pornography is changing us from within. And finally, exposure causes shame. 71% of teens will admit that they've done something to hide what they've done online from their parents. They might have erased their history, they might have changed some settings, they might have done something. But 7 out of 10 teens will admit they've done something to hide what they've done online. Husbands hide it from their wives, wives from their husbands, friends hide it from one another. It causes shame. And so, as humanity does, when there's shame, we try and hide it, we try and erase it, we try and find some way of holding our head high around the people that in one way or another we've offended. So it brings shame, which of course brings all sorts of problems, right? We're being dishonest with others, we're hiding from God, we're living with that deep sense of shame. This inundation with pornography is causing all sorts of deep, deep problems. But I want us to take heart. I know that sounds really, really terrible. It sounds really, really discouraging, but there is hope. And the hope really comes, I think, through parents. You go back a few years to when pornography, internet pornography, really became a problem. Parents didn't know this was happening, and they didn't know what to do about it. We've got a whole new generation of parents now, and there are people my age or even younger whose children are just growing up now, and we know what's happening out there. We know what size of a problem this is. We know that the sinful human heart longs to be fed in those ways. So we can take heart because we get it. And our parents, this generation of parents, is saying, no way, no way are my kids going to deal with what I dealt with. No way am I going to be as ignorant a parent as my parents were. And that's not to disparage my parents. It's just to say they had no idea. They just didn't know what would happen if you took a 16-year-old boy and gave him a computer and an internet connection. Well, now we know. We know exactly what they'll do. And so we can take measures to help them. But here's the thing. If you're going to do this, you need a plan. This can't just happen haphazardly. Porn is far too powerful. It's far too alluring, too desirable, too available for people to avoid it. It's just there. So unless you put together some kind of a plan, you'll fail. It's all but inevitable. So you've got to have a plan. And I really mean this as parents. You've got to be thinking about, I'm bringing children into this world. I'm raising children in this world, not some fantasy world I've concocted in my mind, but this pornified world, I need a plan to protect my children from what they'll otherwise encounter. I need to lead them. I need to train them. I need to guide them through this world. Not through the world I grew up in or even before that. This world from today. And a plan needs to have, I think, three big goals. You need to know what your goals are for a plan to be successful, right? You need to know how to measure whether it's doing what it's meant to do. So the first goal would be training. You need to train your children to use the internet and to use their devices responsibly. We can't avoid these devices, right? We can't just keep our kids offline until they're 25 years old. So we've got to let them use these devices, and we've got to then train them. I think one of the worst things we can do is just hold all these things away from our kids and just let them figure it out when they're older. We as parents need to guide our children. We've got this time now, while they're young and while they're teenagers, where we can instill within them values and habits and patterns and just ways of using these things that will then help them all through life. If we never talk to our kids about alcohol and then send them off to college, we shouldn't be shocked if they end up abusing alcohol, right? It's the same with these devices. If we just hold them away and then just set them free one day without any guidance, they won't do well. We need to train them. So the first goal is training. The second is guarding, to guard children from seeing or experiencing what they don't know exists. Right? If your children are innocent about certain issues, certain matters, then whatever plan we put together ought to be able to maintain their innocence. It ought to keep them from being unintentionally exposed to pornography or unintentionally exposed to dangerous situations in that period before the parents have trained them and taught them what to do when these things happen. So there's that measure of guarding. A good plan has to guard the innocent so they don't learn about these things by clicking on them. And the third goal then is prevention. So once your children know that it's out there, and maybe once they've developed an appetite for it, a desire perhaps to see it, then a good plan has to prevent them from seeing it. You just think about the fact that kids are taught that all your questions are best answered by typing it into a search engine. Kids are full of questions. We have to prevent them from taking some of these questions anyways to the search engines where they'll find really appalling answers instead of the wise answers that mom and dad can give. We also just need to be realistic. The question of pornography is not, will our children see pornography at some point in their lives? It's when will they see pornography? they will encounter it. There's just so much of it out there. And you've probably seen this in your day-to-day life. You just open up your inbox one morning, and there's a naked person in your inbox, right? That just happens. It happens less than it used to, thanks to spam filtering and things like that, but it still happens. Or you go searching for something innocent online, and there's that image. We just can't completely avoid it. I mean, you just drive through town, and there's billboards that 20 years ago would have been pornography, right? It's just there. And so we have to work on this prevention, that at some point people may develop an appetite for it. We have to have a plan that will prevent them from following through on that desire. But there's one big danger we need to guard against, and it's this. You need to be very, very wary of a plan that extends to the children but neglects the parents. Right, Dad, you can't protect your kids from porn if you're looking at porn. Mom and Dad, you can't complain to your children about watching porn if you guys are watching shows that are full of what is essentially pornography. Right? So we as parents take the first responsibility to live far above reproach, to live holy and upright lives, so we can truly say to our children, be like me. Imitate mom and dad, and you'll do fine. Right? The Apostle Paul was a big proponent of that. He was always telling people, be like me. I live above reproach before God and man. So if you be like me, you'll be okay, right? That was Paul's approach. That needs to be our approach as parents. If you're watching what's essentially pornographic TV or movies, full of sex scenes, full of nudity, but then you're telling your children, oh, you've got to put Covenant Eyes on your computer, you're doing it all wrong. You live as the model of this, so you have nothing to hide before your children. I can't even tell you how many people I've met whose porn started when they found Dad's stash. Or they went on the computer and found that Dad had been looking, and it devastated them to find out that Dad had the problem first. Parents, danger. Don't be a hypocrite. Live above reproach. Let's talk then briefly about the porn-free family, this plan that will train, guard, and prevent. Now here's the thing. This is true all across humanity. When technology causes a problem, we tend to think that more technology will fix the problem. All right, so here's the internet has brought this porn into our homes. What do we need to fix it? More technology is what we tend to think, right? Technology will eventually fail. Technology can be a part of a solution, but it isn't the full solution. And my book, The Next Story, talks about this. Technology doesn't cause the problems, really. It just exposes the problems within us. Right? Technology just enables the existing idols or the existing evil within us. There wouldn't be any porn if we didn't have lustful hearts, right? So the technology just carries what we want it to. So what we need is a plan that addresses technology and character. Right? So we use technology to hold off temptation and to hold back temptation so we can focus on the development of character. Right, and this is where so many people go wrong. Their plan is to implement technology, but they never address the heart. They never train their children in godly character. They only ever do prevention. And then they send their kids off to college, and the kids fall right into the issue. And then they invite me to come and speak to your kids at college. And I'm going over this stuff for them, but now they're deeply mired in this, and they haven't been trained how to prevent these things. They haven't been trained how to look away, or they haven't been trained on just the sheer evil in their hearts that would want to look at this stuff. So we cannot neglect character. Technology can be very, very helpful, but the purpose of the technology is to hold off the sin, hold off the evil, so our children can develop that inner character that's so, so much more important. So this plan is four parts. I'll tell you them briefly. We'll go over them. You'll probably get lost in the details, and that's okay because you've got this little booklet that will lead you through it in more detail. But I think it'll be helpful for you to hear it and then to go back and read it. Or to hear it so then you can take this booklet to someone else and say, hey, let's talk about this. Maybe your family could benefit from this. So four parts. First, you need to plan. You need to plan out your plan. Then you need to spend some time preparing. You've done your planning. Now you need to start preparing. Then you need to have a little family meeting. This is an important thing to talk over what's going to happen, how there's going to be some changes in the home. And then you need to monitor. This is the miserable part, that once you set your plan in place, you can't just step away. This isn't like a set it and forget it as seen on TV kind of deal. This is something you set up your plan, you put it in place, and then it requires regular monitoring. At least once a week, you have to step back and take a look at it. So plan, prepare, meet, monitor. We'll start with plan, this planning phase. Your plan needs to account for three different kinds of digital device. Fixed devices, so ones that are in your home and just sit there and never move, the family computer maybe. Mobile devices. These are the devices that your children can use or you can use in your home, and then you can, like this, pick it up and take it on the road with you and use it elsewhere. Your kids might take a laptop to school, right? They use it in the home, and they use it at school. So fixed devices, mobile devices, and then the third kind is other people's devices. Because your kids don't just have access to their computer, they have access to their friends' computers. How many times have kids been exposed to say, hey, look at this, and somebody holds out an image on their own phone? Like I said before, the porn used to be all about that family computer, but today it's migrated into other things. So the first part of your planning phase is to do an inventory of all the digital devices you've got in your home, especially those ones with internet access. So that's, of course, your computers and your laptops. It's your mobile phones. It's your iPads, your iPods, your Kindles, PlayStations, Xboxes. There's an incredible number of devices in most homes today that have the ability to go online and see images. You might be surprised if you do a count how many you've got, how many you're actually using, and then the two or three that are sitting in a junk drawer or in the basement or something. You might have 20 or 30 devices in your home now that can access the internet, that can display images. So you got to run around and see what you're actually dealing with, how many different devices and how many kinds of devices you need to account for. The second thing you need to consider is budget. Christians are cheap, right? I mean, we give money to the Lord. We give away a lot of money. We like free, easy solutions. I think if there's something you're going to budget for, this is a good thing to set aside $20 or $25 a month. You can do it for free. You just get better stuff when you're willing to pay a little bit, right? So I think you can invest a few hundred dollars a year into this for the sake of your children. Consider it sort of an insurance plan. But if you can, if you've got the money, it's well worth the investment to try not to do it for free, but to put a little bit into it. You need to learn. Part of this early planning phase, there are four kinds of tools that you're going to have to use. There's filtering tools, accountability tools, parental controls, and then communication. Filtering. Filtering is, it proactively detects and blocks websites that contain objectionable content. So you figure a filter, you know how a filter works, right? You're running water and rocks through the filter and it lets the small ones through but holds back the big ones, right? That's a filter. You're familiar with that technology. Well, an internet filter is just something that stands between your home and the world and everything has to pass through it. And it takes a look at every request, at everything coming into your home. And it just says, yes, I'll allow that, or no, I will not. Brilliant technology that can be set up in different ways and can be very, very helpful. Accountability software. You're probably familiar with this if you've heard of Covenant Eyes or Triple X Watch or software like that. What it does is it doesn't really care what you're doing. It's not going to block you from doing things. All it's going to do is create a report and says, here's everything this person has done in the last 3 days or in the last week, and then it sends out a report, right? So filtering is proactive. It monitors what you're doing and tries to stop things you shouldn't be doing. Accountability just says, here's what's happened. So you can look at that report and see what people have been up to. So those are two kinds of technology that are very, very helpful. The third is parental controls. Most devices now allow parents to go into that device and set a password that allows them to turn off certain functions of the device. And so when you give your child an iPod, you can turn off the web browser. That might be a very, very wise thing to do. So they can't go online and view websites through that iPod. They can still use it to listen to audiobooks or to play games. They just can't go and surf the web on it. So parental controls. And then the fourth tool is communication. Again, We tend to believe that problems caused by technology can be solved by technology, but it's always a matter of the heart. So as parents, you need to be communicating with your children, leading them, guiding them, conversing with them, and so on. For filtering, there's a great little piece of software called OpenDNS. You'll find a little bit about it in here. It's a filtering software. Again, it stands between your home and the world and determines what will and will not be allowed through. Accountability, I'm a believer in covenant eyes. I think it's really solid software that is very good at building a report. Here's what's happened. I'll email it to mom and dad every 3 days, once a week. You can just look at it. You know what your kids are up to. They recently added a new thing, which is incident report. So they try, instead of giving you a list of 10,000 things your kids have done, they try and say, you know what, from 10 o'clock to 10:30, there was this big burst of forbidden activity. You probably need to focus in on that. Parental controls are on almost all modern devices. Very, very helpful. And then communication. That's regular, open, deliberate communication between parents and their children. We'll talk more about that. You've got some decisions to make. Will you allow your children to access the internet on their mobile devices? Here's a question to consider. What's the earliest age you'll allow your children to have their own device? So when grandma says, hey, I'm buying the kids iPods for Christmas, do you say, thanks, but no thanks? Or do you say, great? Will you have authority to access your children's device at any time to see what they've been up to? Or does your child have the ultimate authority over that device? Do you allow your children to use their devices in private, behind closed doors in their room? Or must they use their devices in general areas within the home? These are the kinds of things you need to think through, right? What is your general strategy? How can you guide your children and help your children, but without being overbearing, right? How can you give them the ability to do things and maybe make some mistakes, as kids will do, but not over-control them, right? So you've got to find that balance and see how that works in your home. And then as kids get better at these things, as they prove themselves trustworthy, can you then give them greater responsibility or greater ability, and then maybe pull that back if they start to prove themselves unworthy of what you've given them? In general, I'd recommend that as few devices as possible be given access to the internet. Don't allow young children to have internet access on mobile devices. Instead, have them access the internet on the family computer or something in the more public area of the home, I think is a wise measure. But you've got to make some of these decisions for your family. And this is probably a good time then to discuss it with your family, to just talk to them, explain that things are going to be a little different here. We're putting a plan in place that we hope will protect the family. You'll be inconveniencing your family. If you've never had a plan in place, your kids have just been using their devices, and now suddenly mom and dad are coming up with a plan, it's going to be disruptive. So it's a good time to call the family together. Here's what we're doing. Here's why we're doing it. Bear with me. All right, so that's the planning phase. Then you need to do some preparation. This is a good time to just sort of take a Saturday morning and get a big cup of coffee from Starbucks or something and just sit down and start doing it. This is where you get your system going from theory to practice. So you need passwords. This is important. You need one really, really good password. And then you need to assign a password to each one of your kids, something they will remember but the other kids won't. So I have a document that only I know the password, well, my wife does too, that for that document, and within that is all the passwords for my family. So I have, my daughter has a password, my son has a password, my younger daughter has a password. These will unlock their devices, but my other kids can't get on one another's devices. They all have an account on the family computer, so they can log in, but they can only log in as themselves, right? So creating passwords so they know how to get on their device, but also so I know how to get on their device. You've got to create accounts. This is laborious. You've got to go to OpenDNS and start an account for yourself. You've got to go to Covenant Eyes and start an account for yourself and for everyone in the family. You've got to go to your computer and create accounts for people. This is miserable stuff, but it's just got to be done if you really want to do it right. And again, it's laid out in here. software. You've got to install OpenDNS on the router in your home. You've got to install Covenant Eyes on your computers, maybe on your mobile phones if you're going to use it there as well. You probably want to remove the browser from certain devices. So our kids got iPods years ago. Right away, we took off the browser. We just did not want them to be able to be in the privacy of their rooms and have the ability to go out on the internet and do stuff. We just thought that was too risky for young children. But we didn't mind them having an iPod where they could play the occasional game, or were big audiobook readers and digital book readers. So they used it in that way. That was fine. We just didn't want it to be a general internet device. Check your gaming consoles, right? Your PlayStations or Xboxes, and see what can actually be done there, and if there's things you need to remove there. And then apply parental controls to your devices. So when we give our children phones, their first phone, my daughter was going to ninth grade, and she was literally the last kid in her class not to have a phone. So we said, all right, we'll get you a phone as you head off to high school, but it's our phone. You can use it. You're going to pay for the plan, but we own this device. And, we share the plan, I guess. So we had the ability then to take off certain functionality. That included, in that case, the browser, because she has a laptop. She needs a laptop for school. She can surf on there, but there's just a whole lot more monitoring and accountability we can do through the laptop than through the phone. And so again, parental controls. Once you know your general strategy on what we're going to allow and not allow, then you can apply those to your children's devices. You might want to turn off their ability to buy new apps or to those horrible freemium games where you start playing the game and it's free, but they make it so frustrating that the only way to advance through the game is to start paying money. And lots of parents can attest their kids found a way of buying some of those upgrades, and it got expensive. You might want to turn off the camera on your kids' phones, right? Especially if they're Snapchat or they want to use Snapchat or something, it might just be wise to address some of that. So know your kids, know where they're at, know what their temptations are, communicate a lot, and try and custom craft each device so they can use it well instead of using it poorly. All right, so you've done your planning, you spent some time thinking and praying about it, talking to your spouse about it, maybe talking to your kids about it. You took a Saturday morning and you put it all in place. It's all done now. You've installed everything. You've created accounts. Your plan's ready to go. Now what you need to do is meet with your family. Now, see, when I many years ago now, I set this up in my home. And, I kind of had the thought my kids would all be like, yes, Dad loves us. Like, look what Dad has done. He wants us to be safe. He cares for us. And it was actually more like this, right? Because I had invaded their comfort. And it's not that any of my kids were looking at porn or interested in looking at porn. They just felt it was an insult that Dad would step into their lives and say, I don't trust you enough to do this. I mean, for Dad to say, I was a 15-year-old boy once upon a time. I know what's in the heart of a 15-year-old boy, and I'm not letting you have free rein. That would just be very unwise. That's hard for kids to hear. Not only that, but there was some inconvenience. They used to just be able to use things. Now they had to type in a password, and they had to remember a password, and they'd forget their password, and be texting me when I'm somewhere else saying, what's the password, So there was this factor of inconvenience. But we did have a family meeting, and I just explained to them why I had done this. And I asked them to be patient as we tried to do this well, knowing that in some ways I'd probably lock things down too tight and we'd have to release it. I explained they could not expect to have privacy on their devices, that mom and dad might at times check what they're doing, and they just have to be okay with that. I explained why passwords matter and that they can't share their passwords. I told them I didn't want them to hide struggles or frustrations. Talk to us, communicate. Like, let's do this together. And then I told them that mom and dad were doing the same thing. So it's not like we put Covenant Eyes on their computers but not on ours. And it's not like they had filtering and we did not. We said, we're going to live by these rules too. We don't want to impose something on you that we're unwilling to do for ourselves. And so we said, we're coming into this with you. We're all going to live within this plan, and we'll all adapt to it together. And then the other thing I did was these ongoing times with my kids. So the way I do this is once a week on Saturday mornings, unless I'm on the road, I take one of my kids out for breakfast. So So there's a little breakfast place near us. If you get there before 8 in the morning, you can eat for $4.95, which is great. And so we go there, and it's just time to hang out with my kids. It's not long, it's not formal, but this is where I might ask about these things. And we can talk about, how are things going? Are you able to do everything you need to do? Are you struggling with anything? Have you seen anything? And I don't ask them that every time, but it's just a place to develop that discipling relationship with my children. And see, parents, you absolutely need to do this. Not take them out for breakfast, this part. You've got to disciple your children in their technology. This is a fundamental part of parenting in this world. It's teaching your children how to use these things well. You're not parenting effectively if you're not teaching your children how to use these devices that they'll be living their lives through for all these years. They will be living in the glow of these glowing rectangles their entire lives. They're spending already 8 to 10 hours a day in front of a glowing rectangle. You've got to help your kids use these things well, right? It's just part of your parenting. It's part of your discipling of your children, which means you've got to find times to speak deliberately about it, right? And it's this in these one-on-one meetings or just together as a family. This is where you're really helping them develop that character that will really sustain them. Because technology, its abilities will run out. It will come to its end. There will be times when technology is not there to help them or protect them. So there's a sense where everything you're doing through technology is really to support this, the discipleship, the communication. You're keeping porn at bay so they can develop character. So later, when they can look at it, if they want to, they won't want to. Right? They'll know the dangers. They will have developed, hopefully, godly character that will have taken away that interest. You're blocking access, so they're not giving their younger years to smut. How many young people today are committing their teens and their 20s to looking at porn? Endless, endless hours spent looking at that garbage. And a lot of that is because mom and dad haven't stepped in to help. They haven't put a plan in place. They're not discipling their children away from it. So this discipleship component is where all of this leads, right? Digital discipleship, if you will, helping your kids live in this world. Then the last step, briefly, is monitoring. Again, this is not fun, but it needs to be done. Which is, read those accountability reports. They'll come in, they'll be saying, here's what your child has done. Give it a brief look. See if there's anything there that's alarming, anything that's out of place. The Open DNS report can be helpful. It just shows what's been going on, what's been blocked. That can be very, very handy. If your kids are really struggling, you might need to look at their text messages or something and just see what have they been doing. What kind of photos are they taking? From time to time, you need to adjust. If your kids are behaving poorly and proving themselves unworthy of what you've given, you might need to back off some of the features or lock things down a little bit more. Or hopefully your kids are doing well, so now you can open up those devices a little bit. Give them greater ability and see how they do with it, right? Eventually, by the time they're out of the house, you want them to be able to have full control over their devices and not to have inordinate struggles with them, right? That's what you're leading to. So adjust. Give them greater ability. And then maintain this whole thing. Sometimes you'll have to update software. Sometimes you'll have to change passwords. Sometimes you'll need, you buy a new computer, you have to get this all set up again. Don't give up on it. There's this tendency to think, well, I set that up back in 1992 or 2017, and it's fine. But no, these things need to be maintained because it's constantly changing, constantly in flux. So until your kids, from the time you set it up to the time the plan is done and your kids are out, you've got to be maintaining it on a regular basis, at least once a week, checking in with those reports, and then occasionally updating and upgrading. So there's a porn-free family. It takes several hours, let's say, of dedicated work at the front, then requires a few hours here and there of maintenance. But let me tell you, it's time well invested. Don't get me wrong, it's not foolproof. The child who really wants to see porn will see porn. And, to some degree as parents, we do our best, right? We give our kids every opportunity to succeed, and then we leave them in the Lord's hands, right? I've talked to dads who they took the door of their child's bedroom, they took the bedroom door off so their child would always be exposed. And I said, I think you're you're getting into different territory there. You know, your child, he's 18, he's going to make his own way in life. You give him every tool to succeed, but don't be overbearing. Don't be abusive. Like, at some point, you've got to say, I've done, my conscience is clear before the Lord, and if you're going to ignore my counsel, then you're the fool. You know, so finding that balance where you're really helping them and guiding them, but not being overbearing. I want to show you one thing. This is a new, relatively new device called Circle. This company, actually Believers who started this company and partnered with Disney to create it. It's called Circle. You can get more details at that little link I've put there. It's actually a really nice little device that can do a lot of these functions for you. If you've got younger kids, you can buy this. I think it's $99 if you want to wait till their Thanksgiving sale, maybe $79. But if you put this in your home, it'll do most of what you need. And it's really clean and slick. It's really a good little device. As your kids get older, you probably need to supplement with Covenant Eyes or something. But this alone is a relatively new but really good device that can be a pretty important part of your plan. So check it out. It's also available at Best Buys and Amazon and stuff now. But if you put this in your home, you're well on your way. You can customize it for different people in the home and so on. So I'm going to leave it there. We've got the Q&A coming up later on, and I'd be glad, and of course, I'll be around, so you can ask me questions as well. But I'd love to hear from you during that Q&A session this afternoon, any specific things I could address, any general things I could address. But your plan is in this little booklet. Please think about it, and especially if you have young children, it's a lot easier to start when they're young and just always train them in the idea that mom and dad are helping you, mom and dad are training you, and put a plan in place and trust that the Lord will use it for the good of your children.